You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Thought I'd change it up after 1,000. I'm going to give you a big kiss every time we start.
Okay, then.
You've been... Ooh, there you go. No, I like this. That's way better and sweeter.
It reminded me of an old joke that my dad used to tell. He said there was a general and a private and a grandmother and her adult granddaughter were all in a railroad car. You know, they're sitting facing each other.
Yeah.
And it went through a tunnel and he heard a and a big old smack and came out on the other side of the tunnel and the general's got a big old red smack across his cheek. And so the grandmother's thinking, serves him right. I'm glad my granddaughter did that. And the granddaughter thought, oh man, he went to kiss me and he kissed my grandmother and she let him have it. And then the general's going, that stupid private, he kissed that girl and she smacked him and missed and hit me. And the private was thinking, what a great country this is. Where else can you kiss the back of your hand, slap a general, and get away with it?
I love it. I love it. Well, how you doing, man? We've had a few days.
Doing awesome.
Since our big 1,000. 1,000. Wow.
Doing great. Yep. Had a lot of good responses and, like, same as you, texts and comments and congratulations. Yeah. And, you know, we'd probably take 10 minutes to give all the names. Thank you very much, everybody, all of your well wishes. And it was really neat hearing from all of you. And those we didn't hear from, we need to hear from you.
Yeah, that's right. We'd love to hear from you. I think I can pretty much sum up people's thoughts of the video in one word.
Oh, yeah.
Yuck. That's the best you two got.
I knew we should put the girls text on. Saying, thank you for a peek into the bowels.
Oh, yo, again, yuck. That was fun. That was fun with the girls too, man. They had so much. They are so funny.
They are hilarious.
I forget sometimes how funny those girls are until we put them together, and then wow,
exactly.
That's incredible. Oh man, good job, man. I just finished two incredible meetings. I was in Salina,
Amen.
Ohio. We had a time, man. The Lord showed
That's
up.
Great.
Great revival services there. I'm praying things
Praise
are continuing
the Lord.
On. We had three saved and just the altars were packed every service. It was incredible.
Amen.
And then tremendous service up in Springboro at First Baptist Church with Brother Carr and his dear wife Sharon and just some sweet people there. And awesome. We're getting some great response to the American Gospel Project. Churches are starting to line up to give towards that. We're going to start with the state of Ohio and try to do that first. It's going to take about $2 million to do that. And if you're in Ohio and you would get your church fired up to do that, I figure it's going to be about $5,000 a church if we can get 400 churches involved. And, you know, over a period of time, a year or two, man, we could get it done right quick. So please be in thought about that, prayer about that, and get involved in that. And if you can do more than that, that's awesome. But I figured if a church averages about 200 people, there'd be some more, some less, about $1 a person for a year would do it. And I'd love to see Ohio get done. That'd be neat.
Amen.
Yeah. So great time with you guys. Great time there in Ohio. And we were with some of our dear friends as well. We were with the Oilers over in Eaton, Ohio. and they've become dear friends of ours. Got to spend some time with them, so good trip. Preaching here just in a few days. This will be past that time, but I'll be in Barrie, Ontario, doing the largest youth conference we have in Canada. About 500-600 people will be there. And
amen.
Then headed back down to Ohio. I'll be with Daniel Hamilton over at Lakeland.
Oh,
Baptist.
Amen.
Yeah. So the world tour is on. What's going on in Columbus?
There you go. Well, I'm sort of, my feet are in concrete and I never move. And I just really, no, we had a, just got done with a just short 2-day break with our family. Had a tremendous time. A lot of fun getting back now. It was sort of like our last gasp of fun before we jump right into that summer schedule. And, man, it moves. We got youth camp, and then we've got Vacation Bible School the very next week. We try to help with a sewing booth at the Ohio State Fair. We've got SMITE, and then all of the summer projects that you want to try to get done and things. So, and we're looking forward to, we're finally in a situation and been praying for quite a while, and the Lord has led us toward, we're going to be having a summer intern with us this year. So
nice.
Hopefully the beginning of a consistent activity that we're able to do. I think that it's a great opportunity for a church to be able to do that. And everybody has their own opinion of what the intern should be, but I don't want to sort of quote-unquote, air quote, waste the opportunity just saying pulling weeds and, you know, mowing the lawn. I mean, there's always things to do in the ministry like that, but, you know, we're trying to adjust our schedules to include him in a lot of training, a lot of hands-on training in the ministry. So he'll probably be on a podcast and hopefully be able to say good things.
Ooh, there you go.
Towards the end.
There you go.
Whenever he's able to leave and we can't have any retribution back at him.
Yeah. I'm planning on doing a podcast up in Barrie. There's a young man there who has just started a counseling service, and there's a lot of young people that are getting involved in counseling in their churches or for their churches. And so I'm not sure if you're going to be able to join us for that one. I think you're tied up, but I'm going to try to get the interview anyways.
Amen.
Brother Matt McSquiggan is his name. And we'll try to get that done as well. So something for future. And I just talked to a couple young people who are involved in counseling. And so we'll take a look at that, deal with that another time. But that kind of leads in well to our topic today. Careers for Christian young people. What can they do? And, of course, we would immediately say, well, you need to go to Bible college. But that's not going to be everybody. God's not
we wouldn't immediately say that. But,
yeah. That's definitely. And I always leave that as an option. And I think that it never hurts anybody to go a year to Bible college and get
some good Bible training. That's exactly right.
Right?
It cannot hurt. And whenever you start looking at the cost versus a normal public or private college, the cost for Bible college, even room and board, is significantly lower. I guess about the only way that it could maybe hurt is if somebody is their GPA is such that they've been admitted into a, elite school. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of things that those opportunities don't come along very often.
Right. I will tell you, if you go to a Christian college, pretty good chance you're not going to have to face a pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas insurrection there.
Pretty good chance.
Yeah. Sad. Sad state of affairs.
It's abominable.
I believe in protest. I believe that you have the right and the freedom to be able to, voice your opinion, but this has really gotten out of hand. It's getting crazy.
Well, it reminds me of the 60s,
mm-hmm.
70s, when all of the protests started and all of that kind of stuff. So, it's usually not long-lived. The problem is, back then it was, a quarter of the professors or a tenth of the professors were sort of inciting that. Now I would say it's 90%, of the professors. So, you're into administration and everything else. And so there's a deep rot in what we would call academia today.
Is there anything going on in Ohio State?
Yeah, there has been, and there's been, it's while we were gone, an event happened at the student union, and there's been a lot of graduates of the college calling for the administration to expel them.
Yeah,
not good. Not just, you know, reprimand them, but to expel them. And so, you know, I think the get enough donors, you know, involved, and and things will start changing.
Right, right. All right. Let's talk education for a Christian young person going out of high school. And by the way, we've mentioned this several times, a good portion of our listeners are teenagers and right there at the beginning of college age. So we're glad to try and help out in this area, because I ask a lot of young people, what do you want to do when you finish school? And the answer resoundingly is, I don't know. And that kind of that scares me a little bit. That doesn't scare me.
But yeah, but how many times did somebody, one of our friends, say the same thing?
Well,
when we were growing up, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I knew. That's the thing.
Yeah, but it was, you and I were called to preach young.
Right.
I've said many times, I'm so thankful that, I mean, I was set. My course was set.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, all through high school, I was purposed. And so it didn't really affect me. And as a high schooler, I did not understand until I started working with teens how much turmoil graduation brings.
Yeah.
You know, as that date keeps bringing closer. I was excited. I was looking forward to it. And I'm not saying nobody else is. But, you know, with it is, what are you going to do? 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 And so, you know, as we are in April here, and there probably are some people thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, I try to encourage young people everywhere I go. When you get into grade, you know, 7, 8, 9, I know it's early on, and I know most people aren't thinking about it. But you can certainly be praying about it and asking the Lord.
Absolutely.
And start getting some direction and asking your parents and, you know, some of your spiritual leadership. What do you think God might have for me? I think people do wait too late, and I see a lot of young people who spend 3-4 years in college, they get done, and they do something completely different than what they trained for. And I just think it's a good idea to start thinking about it early. And if you're today in grade 7 or 8, or 7th and 8th grade, as we say in the States, you know, you should be looking at those things and having a great time in school and getting the best grade you can, but looking at options. And I would say, I ask myself this, what do I love to do? What is it something that I like to do that I think I'd like to do the rest of my life? And of course, you don't know completely until you start doing that, but maybe you're growing up, your dad's a mechanic and you're helping him and you love it. Or your mom's a nurse and she comes home talking about it and you love it. Those are definitely some directions in which you might think to go. But of course, you want the Lord's leading.
Yeah, okay, so let's go to you and me, all right? So if you were not called to preach, you were called to preach at what grade?
I was 12 years old, grade 6.
Okay, I was 8th grade, so both of us young, and so had a pretty good idea. I didn't really entertain ideas of, you know, if I wasn't going to preach, I would love to do this,
right?
Because that wouldn't have been helpful, and I'm thankful that I didn't. And sometimes that opens a big gap of, I would rather not be called to preach, and that wasn't the case. But I wanted to be an electrician. There was a guy in our church who was a young guy, single guy, you know, really enjoyed his company. And he was an electrician, and he had made good money, had his own house. You know, he's probably mid-20s, late-20s. Of course, he's one of these good-looking guys that every girl in the world just, you know, oohed and aahed over and stuff, you know. But
believe me, I know.
Faithful.
I know all about that.
faithful, you know, worker for the Lord. And, you know, he had an influence on me, an impact upon me. And I always liked electrical shop when I was in school and things like that. So, you know, I had always thought, man, I wouldn't mind being an electrician. What about you? Is there anything that you would have said, hey, you know, I like Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you like woodworking now or something,
yeah.
but
yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be a multimillionaire. I've said this many times. If I wasn't a preacher, I would have gone into business, some kind of business.
Yes.
And I would not have rested till I made millions of dollars. I just,
well, do you think you would have worked with your dad with cement?
No. Okay. No. That was way too
hard. I mean, because the business end of that.
Right.
You know, if you had your own cement company, you could really.
Yeah, that's
know,
true. I often thought, man, if I could have managed my dad's business, he could have made a whole lot more money. My dad did not charge enough. And I'd say, Dad, he'd do a job and it'd be like, you know, he worked 6 or 8 hours on it. And he'd say, well, it's $100 or, you know, $150 or something.
Yes.
Like, Dad, that's way too little.
Because he's a decent man.
Right. And he said, I would only charge what I thought I would pay. I said, yeah, but you're a cheapskate. And you don't have any money. You don't have it. And a guy bought his business, and the guy killed it. And my dad's like, he charges a lot. I said, Dad, that's what you should have been charging right there. So I love business. I love just some of the details of business. You know, finding a product or making a product and selling that to someone and seeing that thing evolve and change.
You like the conquest.
Yeah, I do.
You'd need a bean counter.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm not the logistics guy at all. I'm the visionary, and I had to come up with ideas. And I'm like you, we're salesmen. That's part of who we are. We're selling the gospel, as it were. And I told people sometimes, if you think insurance is hard, you should try giving away assurance. It's tough, but I love that. I love people. I love, you know, meeting people. I think I probably would have been in business. I might not have been the boss, but I probably could have worked in a business and seen some great growth there.
All right, so it's happened to us hundreds of times. You're at youth camp or you're at some meeting somewhere. You've spoken. You've got some time to talk some teens, and a teen walks up to you. So let's first take a guy.
Okay.
Guy walked up to you and says, "What should I do with my life?"
Yeah. I tell him, you should be praying about that. I ask him, what do you like to do? Mm-hmm. I ask him what his father does. I ask him, you know, how's his education? Are you getting good grades? Are you a good student? And then I really push for him to get some kind of spiritual counsel that will help him and direct him. He should be in the Word of God. You know, searching that to see if God would show him something through that. So all kinds of things that you can do that way to try to find that out. But I think the most important thing is, you know, just seeking what God would lay on your heart. That's the most important thing. I'd ask him what God's laid on his heart.
All right. We can get into that in a little bit. Okay. So you ask them what you like to do.
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
because I do the same thing.
Yeah, I think because you have to enjoy what you do, or it's not pleasurable. You want to find something within your wheelhouse, within what you like to do, because the thought is you're going to do this for the rest of your life. And there's the old saying. What's that old saying about you know, getting paid for something you love to do? I can't believe I'm getting paid to do something I do for free or something like that. I've always enjoyed the ministry. I've loved being in the ministry. I've loved preaching.
Oh, yes.
And so there are times when I thought, I can't believe I actually get paid to do this. It's so neat.
Yes.
I can't imagine if I was in a job, probably a factory job, where I was doing the same thing over and over and over with no different result. Oh, no, wait, that is preaching. I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. I don't know what I'd do.
All right, so let me try to, play not good cop, bad cop, but I want to be an intermediary here. I understand because I have used the same phrases of what you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here is something, and I'm not trying to be a downer, but here is something that I am noticing about a younger generation that is in our teen groups now.
Okay.
Is when I will say something like, "Well, what do you like to do?" And many times they don't know, and of course that's one issue there.
Yeah.
But then the second issue is, I think we're running into that has to be addressed, an era or an age group that think if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. There's a difference between liking to do your work,
right,
and thinking that if it's not fun, I won't do it.
Yeah. I think that most kids would say, "I don't want to work. I don't like to work."
Yes, that's what I mean.
Having to work, right? Exactly. So get over that. Get over yourself, because you're going to have to do something for the rest of your life to provide for you and your family. You can go on welfare, and you can exist on welfare. But I'll tell you what: if you'll get a good job and work hard, you can have a good life. And you can have some neat things happen. It's not everything. Money's not everything. And being rich is not everything. But definitely not having the pressure of, you know, constantly thinking, I can't do this, or I can't afford this, or, you know, I wish I could do that. That becomes a problem.
Well, I want to say this to every teen that's listening, is the problem is with me and my communication. I have not been able to find just the right words to communicate properly what I mean whenever I say, "Well, what do you like to do?" Because, you know, I've said it now for 40 years. "Well, what do you like to do?" And with this generation that is coming into adulthood, you know, in the next 5 to 7 years, that doesn't resonate. I am missing the mark by saying, "What do you like to do?" And so that's why I'm not jumping on you, because it's something I'm finding out,
right,
is the translation isn't there. And so I remember growing up and hearing a lot of sermons, and in college too, on just the satisfaction of finishing a job. The idea of not quitting, you know, those kind of things of the honor of working, that there's an honor or a almost a regality in the fact of that you look at your job and you want to do the best job that you can while you're working, and I fear that we've lost that communication with this generation now that is coming through our youth departments, in the honor and the blessing of working.
Yeah. Tell you what, I've got I think an answer to your question, but we're going to do it Wednesday.
Sure.
We're out of time, so we'll pick up on Wednesday. But yeah, you're right. I think exactly that young people don't think in the same lines that we do. When I was a kid, you just wanted to get a good paying job. You didn't really care what it was. You were going to figure that out, because if you didn't like it, you could move on to something very easily and quickly. And I did that. I started out making $5. Actually, I made about $3 an hour. Then I went to $5 an hour. Then I went to $6 an hour. And I kept moving up that financial ladder till I, you know, eventually got to where I was in the ministry. And then I went back to $2 an hour. But no, seriously, I didn't even think about it, because I just thought, I just got to work. I've got to do something.
Right.
I'm going to do something.
Right.
So yeah, I think I got the question. I'm going to pick that up on Wednesday.
Awesome.
Okay. So till then, I'm Al Stone, and I'm so looking forward to speaking to 500-600 young people. Maybe I'll bring this up to them, and maybe I'll ask the question, get some answers there, and we can bring it back another time. But yeah, it's amazing. And let me say again that I'm promoting the American Gospel Project and Ohio. And if you're a pastor in that state, if you would have me come and just excite your church about that, I can do it quick, easy, and cheap. And I would love to do it. I'm Al Stone.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And please, maybe you've never done it, but please help us out by giving us a rating or a review. Reviews are even better than a rating, but a rating is just take one touch of the screen and it's done. And please make sure you subscribe.
And make sure you go back and watch us on YouTube. We'd love to see that thing climb up. Thanks so much. Have a great day, eh? And we'll be back on Wednesday talking about young people and careers and jobs and getting out of your parents' basement. We'll be back on Wednesday. This is the Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.